fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're recapping a victory over the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. To do that, we have a special guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundoff.com. Jeremy, how you doing this morning?
Hey, how's it going, Brian? It's good to be on.
Thank you for joining us. How did you enjoy Throwback Weekend in Green Bay?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm worn out. I woke up just for the show. I think I'll go back to sleep when I'm done. It was an event. It was a seriously good time. A good time, and anybody who missed out, you should be putting that in your calendar for next year. Throwback Weekend is the only place where you end up sleeping on somebody's cement floor, and it still ends up being the best weekend you had in a long time. So, I recommend it.
It takes a lot out of you. It's a test of endurance, and maybe for some people, a test of your liver as well. So, but Jeremy, let's talk about this game here. Packers roll over the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers had his fourth straight game with at least three touchdowns and zero interceptions. How long can Aaron Rodgers keep up this streak of elite-level play?
Well, I guess my question would be how long can he keep doing what he's doing without a starting-caliber tight end consistently on the field? It sure does help that right now Devontae Adams is on a hot streak for his season. His season started off nice and slow. I wouldn't say disappointment. I mean, obviously you expect rookies to start off a little slow, but as long as Adams is playing the way he is and Cobb's playing the way he is, I think Rodgers will be just fine. It would be nice to see them get some play out of a tight end somewhere along the way that's going to be consistent. And I can't imagine what Rodgers' numbers look like if Andrew Corliss starts to step up and plays consistently. But right now, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus, Devonta Adams is ranked as the 29th receiver in the NFL, and that's after the slow start that he had. So if you cut out those first few games, you can only imagine where he'd be at on the list.
Yeah, and especially if Jarrett Boykin comes back and starts playing at the level he was prior to injury as well. That's a pretty good group Aaron Rodgers is throwing to. You know, the MVP of yesterday's game, in my opinion, was Randall Cobb. And for a while, people wondered if the Packers might extend Randall Cobb's contract before this season even started. Of course, that didn't happen, but is there any doubt now that they extend them sometime before the start of next season?
Well, I sure hope they can afford to keep him because right now him and Jordy is the 1 and 2. It almost feels like it's unstoppable. And maybe he takes a page out of the Jordy Nelson book and takes less than he's worth just because he knows he makes a lot of money. And it was nice to see that from Jordy. It'd be nice to see that from Randall, but He really is earning a nice paycheck. Right now, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb are ranking 1 and 2, in according to Pro Football Focus. They're 1 and 2 in the NFL. Randall's still leading the league in touchdowns. I would love to see him stick around.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I wonder, you know, both him and Brian Bulaga are entering contract seasons. I wonder if there will be money for both of them or only one of them. Because Brian Bulaga is having a heck of a season so far as well. But you mentioned Jordy Nelson, another good game from him this week. My question to you is this the year Jordy Nelson finally becomes a Pro Bowler, or perhaps maybe even a better question, where does he rank among all NFL wide receivers at this point?
Well, if he doesn't end up in the Pro Bowl this year, if he plays consistently down the stretch as the season goes along, if he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, I'm going to cry foul. He's number one in the league right now. His rating on Pro Football Focus is higher than, it's like, I think 2 points higher than the guy underneath him. He's at 11 something. He's just, been on fire. And right now, there's only one guy in the league that I would consider taking over Jordy Nelson, and that's Megatron. And I don't think Megatron can really be that much more productive than Jordy is right now. I just don't know if that's possible. So in the end, is it even worth making a switch like that? I mean, it's, you know, how hypothetical, but I wouldn't even take Megatron, I guess. It's just, there's no point. Jordy is so good right now. He's so productive. I don't think anybody else could be more productive. Jordy is very valuable to this team.
Yeah, barring injury, I think it's perhaps a given this year that Jordy Nelson finally makes his first Pro Bowl. In the running game, both Eddie Lacy and James Starks both averaged over 5.0 yards per carry on Sunday. Does it matter to you, Jeremy, who's getting the carries, or does it just matter that they're effective no matter who's carrying the football?
Well, we've all noticed that. I think I've seen a lot of people saying about the same thing, that Starks has been more consistent finding holes. Eddie Lacy, he keeps missing cutback lanes. He sees the back of his offensive line, and he runs right into him. And sometimes there's a gaping hole to one side or another, and he just misses it for whatever reason. And I don't think he was doing that quite as much last year. And right now his rating for running is pretty poor, and it's less than Starks. But I think we've seen Starks in a bigger role, and it wasn't very pretty. I don't think if they put him on the field consistently that they can trust James Starks to continually over and over do the same thing. Starks has been better in the passing game, which the Packers are a passing team. So that's the guy you want on the field more. And eventually I think he's going to snap out of the little slump that he's got going on, and he'll figure it out.
We're talking to Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundOff.com here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning, recapping a Packers victory. Let's turn our attention to the defensive side of the football. Jeremy, after a game he got decent pressure on the quarterback, do you have any concerns about Clay Matthews moving forward? Because coming into the game, he was starting to get a little criticism.
Yes and no. I mean, Clay Matthews is still Clay Matthews. When it comes down to pinning your ears back and getting after the quarterback, he's still Clay Matthews. But if a team comes in and they run the read option consistently throughout the game, which I don't know why the Panthers weren't doing it consistently. You saw it a couple times, but I just don't think it was enough. Clay gets it slows him down a bit, or he doesn't know who to attack, and he just becomes too aggressive. And then at that point, I think he struggles in all phases of his game. When he starts to struggle in one phase, I feel like he starts to struggle in a lot of them. And I don't feel like he's figured it out just, you know, after one game. Clay Matthews is still a great player. Can he defend the read option? I don't know. I hope so. I hope he can later in the season. They're going to see it. If they have to play the 49ers in the playoffs, they're going to see it. And I sure hope Clay can figure it out. But right now, I mean, if he can continue on with what he did against the Panthers, I'd be more than happy to, you know, I'd shut up about the read option if he can do what he did against the Panthers. He looked mean. He looked nasty.
Yeah, he looked good on Sunday, that's for sure. Now, if you're Mike McCarthy, if you're the coaching staff, do you hold out Sam Shields until after the bye?
Yeah, I think you can. I just think that's a nice luxury you have because of the depth at corner. House is having a great season. It has to be his best season he's had as a Packer. Casey Hayward, he had a pick yesterday. Those are guys you're comfortable seeing on the field. And with Tremont in there, it's not like you're really struggling to make it work out. This defense yesterday played against Cam Newton, who going into yesterday was the top-rated quarterback in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And you saw how that turned out. This group of defensive backs has become one of the best in the league. And it has a lot to do with the addition of Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix and keeping consistency at safety. And then the corners are just, it's such a deep group that I think by now you can just let Shields sit.
Yeah, he's definitely aching, hurting. I mean, compared to Tremont Williams, between the two, it appears he had the more severe injury, but the Packers doing okay shape without him. Without a doubt, I think the Packers are one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now, winning four straight. But Jeremy, last question here. Is this a Super Bowl contending team?
Well, I think so, because the league's so wide open. You saw the Seahawks lose yesterday to the Rams. They just traded Percy Harvin, so things are kind of a mess there. The 49ers have been on and off all season. You have to say yes just because of that, but I'm not sure where, I guess, in those levels that they rank. I'm excited to see them against the Saints this week. I think it's going to be very telling. I'm not ready to jump on the defense's cured bandwagon. I don't think that – I think that there are going to be teams they struggle against. From what I saw yesterday, and I haven't gone back and watched the game yet, but I think LaTroy Guyon had a nice game. The middle of that defense looked really good yesterday. And so I think some of the issues are fixed, but not all of them. And it'll be interesting to see what it looks like when they play a team that does run the read option, because it has been their biggest struggle. It is where they're most inconsistent. But I do have to say, it's solely because of the inconsistency in the NFC that, yeah, they're a Super Bowl contending team.
Well, I certainly hope to agree with you, or we will find out down the road whether they are or not. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's good to see you this weekend at Throwback Weekend, and keep up the good work over at TailtownSoundoff.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. Jeremy Vanderlinden joining us on the show this morning, talking some Packers football after their big-time utter domination win over the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, just speaking for a moment about Throwback Weekend, anybody I saw there, it was good to see you. I'm not going to throw names because I, you know, feel bad if I leave somebody out. But this past weekend, Cheesehead TV sponsored event. If you haven't been there before, make it a point to go out and do it. I think it's great. It's a weekend full of fun, of revelry, of laughs, just having a good time, drinking a few beers, if you will. But if that's not your thing, you certainly don't have to do it either. Partying the day, night before, the morning of, tailgating before the game. Just a lot of people, cool people coming out. A lot of people from the Packers blogosphere. So a lot of knowledgeable people to talk football with. It's a good time. It's a good time. I had a good time with my family going there, and encourage you all to go sometime in the future. Had a lot of fun. Let's continue. I got some thoughts to share about this win. It's tough to, you know, certainly find negatives in this victory. I mean this was utter domination. I mean, it's 21-0 before the first quarter's over. I turned to my brother-in-law at the game who joined me. I said, you know, the Packers are on pace to win 84-0 right now. And half jokingly, I knew it was going to slow down. But I mean, there just was, I think I read somewhere, and I hadn't been even paid that close of attention to notice during the game, but the Packers were up 21-0 before the Panthers even got a first down, something like that. It was ridiculous. It was redonkulous. It just the way the Packers were efficient on offense, and literally, I think maybe the defensive effort here, it was perhaps the best part of the game for the Packers, because this was such a maligned unit coming into the season. You know, they had just, since the Packers won the Super Bowl after the 2010 season, it's basically been a regression on defense, and you may have seen them hit, you know, go from peak at the Super Bowl to valley in 2013, and now they're working their way back up again. And it certainly seems like early in the season they had their struggles, and it seems like Dom Capers is just figuring out how to use these guys. And I give a lot of credit to him in the offseason for committing to different looks, like the 4-3. Look, and just, you know, going out and getting guys like Julius Peppers and realizing, hey, I mean, he's a talent no matter what system he's in. And what you saw yesterday was the third and long packages, and I I know I get this name from, go check out Bob McGinn's post-game article at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or over at jsonline.com. The Packers call it the NASCAR package. I don't know if that's the name they call it in the huddle or just jokingly call it, it's NASCAR, meaning getting a lot of fast cars out there, fast guys, the pass rushers, your defensive front in third and long situations was Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Mike Neal, and Nick Perry. Basically all your elephant ends. I'm not sure if you want to call Clay Matthews an elephant type of defensive end, but the other guys, all standing up, all getting pressure on the quarterback, and they all did. Finally, as we talked about, Clay Matthews finally kind of breaking out of a slump. And, what was it? Clay Matthews only came up with half a sack officially. But, point of the matter is he got pressure on the quarterback all game long, more or less, and was really harassing Cam Newton. And not just him. I mean, Julius Peppers comes up with 1.5 sacks, and, he's been doing the job all season long. And all these, the entire team, it was a very, very good whole team effort from the Packers on the defensive side of the football, from the defensive line to the linebackers to the secondary. But that NASCAR package was rather interesting. To see, the type of personnel they utilized and getting pressure on the quarterback. For once, you saw Mike Daniels, the Packers' best pass-rushing defensive lineman, not even out there in pass-rushing situations. Not to say that was the whole entire game, but, early in the game, when it was third and long, they get this NASCAR package out there and these guys getting a ton of pressure on the quarterback. And it was just a lot of fun to watch because they were so effective out there. Those guys are also quick off the edge and they do a decent job pushing up the middle with Mike Neal. Sometimes I wonder if Mike Daniels might even be a better option than Mike Neal as an interior pass rusher, but I can't complain with what Mike Neal's doing, really. He's not making mistakes out there. Yeah, he didn't come up with any sacks, but, he was part of that group getting pressure. And it's only going to get better once a guy like Dayton Jones, who he too, sat out yesterday, second straight game with a, sprained ankle. You wonder if they'll hold him out till after the bye as well. Let's assume he comes back after the bye. I mean, you got all these guys, all these options. It's just going to be a way of finding out how to rotate them, probably, and getting them onto the field. So the Packers have a luxury of options in their pass rush sets and getting after opposing quarterbacks, and they certainly did do so. Against Cam Newton on Sunday. And special credit here to Nick Perry, who is slowly coming on. If I'm correct, I think this is the third straight game that Nick Perry has recorded a sack. And really, I think, he's played well all season long. And there have been some games where he hasn't gotten a ton of play. But even in limited exposure, we're finally seeing Nick Perry come on, in his third season in the NFL. It's taken that long, and injuries have been a part of it, certainly, as he's had some unfortunate broken bones in his first 2 years in the NFL. But how about Nick Perry, becoming one of these guys, all of a sudden in the past, really, I think the past 2 weeks, the Packers have been figuring out ways to get him on the football field more. Early in the season, Nick Perry seemed to be playing sparingly, a handful of snaps a game. And credit to him, he proved himself in his limited exposure, was doing well and saying, hey,
I deserve to be out here more. Now, in about the past two games or so, Nick Perry is out there more and still producing, still getting the job done. You got to wonder, all of a sudden Dayton Jones gets healthy and, you know, some of these snaps are going to be cut back a little bit perhaps, but maybe it's a guy like Luther Robinson whose snaps get cut instead of Nick Perry. And, just kudos to Nick Perry and Dom Capers figuring out how to use them and, just everybody kind of feeding off each other. On that Packers defense, you can't block all of them, and they're doing a seriously fantastic job just rushing the passer. But not just that. I think the run defense was very good as well. And you know, we talked about it at length with Jeremy Vanderlinde and how the Packers did against the read option and how, you know, that was a forte of the Carolina Panthers coming into the game and Cam Newton's and just corralling him. But you saw on several, down and distance situations, which were, you know, third and one, things like that, third and short, the Packers getting the job done. Clay Matthews did good there and the rest of the linebackers, but you know, the defensive line, I think you're seeing LaTroy Guyon. Boy, oh boy, has he come on. And we talked about this last week, and I will just continue to praise him. I'm not sure what it was early in the year, whether it was his, that hamstring injury that kind of kept him out for, a month of training camp, and it just kind of, continued to bother him or slow him down early into the regular season. But man, he just, on this Packers winning streak, he's becoming more of a factor every week. And, it is mostly to do with his run defense. And, if LaTroy Guyon can get a little pressure on the quarterback when they pass in those situations, great. But, he's probably the biggest reason those short down and distance situations got stuffed, including even just a quarterback sneak where the Panthers had probably less than a yard to gain and didn't end up getting it. LaTroy Guyon doing the job right there. And, not just him, but him especially doing a superb job holding his ground and just disrupting what the Panthers offensive line wanted to do. What I also liked very much, and I see that they're talking about it on the live blog. I see John on the live blog says Richardson had that fourth and one stop earlier in the game. Sean Richardson becoming a part of the Packers' short yardage defense, inserting him into the game as a safety. And that seems to be not because of injury, but they just seem to like what he does. His big body is a strong safety in goal line or short yardage situations. Again, another credit to Dom Capers and figuring out how to utilize this personnel. Yeah, he's out there on fourth and one, stuffing the Panthers' run and forcing a turnover on downs. I just like what they're doing there, to figure out a way to capitalize on Sean Richardson's capabilities, figuring out how to use where he's at his best. And it gives somebody a chance to get a little rest. I mean, Morgan Burnett, not his best game yesterday, especially coming off, the past 2 weeks in which he played so well. Comparatively, Morgan Burnett wasn't quite as good. But, to get Sean Richardson in there a little bit, that's great. That's fantastic. And HaHa Clint Dix continues to be his solid self back there. Just that reliable tackler that you don't have to worry about. He just takes guys down, makes very good open field tackles by himself. Usually doesn't need any help to clean things up. I mean, all around the Packers, defensive effort was just great yesterday. I mean, if we're going to nitpick, I suppose it's the back part of the defense that, you know, probably struggled a little bit. Tremont Williams giving up a long reception, you know, was it huge? Not really. Jarrett Bush giving up the late touchdown. Morgan Burnett gave up a reception or two. But again, I mean, these things are such nitpicky things that, you know, it's really tough to complain about what the Packers did in the secondary when a guy like Casey Hayward goes and grabs an interception, capitalizes on a mistake by the Panthers, and you know, helps the Packers out in the turnover department. They were, again, plus one in the turnover department yesterday, continuing a season-long trend for the Packers, you know, not turning the football over and at the same time forcing turnovers. The thing that seemed to go away last year, the forcing of turnovers, it's back. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been the same guy, although he's taken it to another level this season with only one interception through the first seven games of the season. I mean, what's his touchdown to interception ratio now? 18-1, I think. You know, that's mind blowing what Aaron Rodgers is able to do. But I mean, he's never turned the ball over much this year. He's taken it to a whole nother level. But you know, all of a sudden you get just one. All it takes is that one turnover the Packers get, one or two a game, and then they're plus one or two in the turnover ratio, turnover differential, I mean. And they're setting themselves up, in very good shape. They're not leaving short yardage or short fields for the defense by turning the ball over. And they're giving the Packers offense, when they are the ones forcing the turnovers, they're setting up the Packers for a short field, the Packers offense. It's a winning equation for the Packers in terms of winning football games. And, you know, probably the biggest reason that they're on a four-game winning streak right now. If you do want to find something to nitpick about on the offensive side of the football, probably the play of the tight ends. And again, Jeremy Vanderlinden, alluded to this in the interview as well. Basically, Andrew Corliss and Richard Rodgers at fault for the Packers giving up sacks, although they happened rather quick. Brandon Bostic dropping the football on one he shouldn't have. Packers struggling to find consistency there at the tight end position. They didn't make huge mistakes, though. Again, we're nitpicking here. But if Richard Rodgers could be a little bit more consistent, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, tried to find Richard Rodgers in the end zone, and it was simply an overthrow. And that falls on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. He only had three incompletions the whole entire day. What'd he go, 19 of 22? I mean, that one's Rodgers' fault right there. But at least he looked for him. You know, the scouting report on Richard Rodgers is that he's got an incredible set of hands. You know, I'm not so sure about his speed and getting separation from defenders. But I just would think, you know, with his supposedly fantastic hands, that the Packers not trying to get him the football more often. They tried to yesterday. Richard Rodgers also had a reception for the first time in like two or three games, which is nice. But boy, if they could get, you know, on a more consistent basis, if Andrew Corliss can just continue the path that he's done basically the past three games or so, and get Brandon Bostic involved just a little bit here and there, but he's got to put things together. You know, there can't be any more drops like there was yesterday. Easy drops, especially. You know, if they can just get a little bit more production, little bit more, tiny bit more from the tight end position, they'll be a lot better off. I do think the Packers tight ends were also did a very good job of run blocking yesterday. I think that was part of the reason the Packers, both Lacy and Starks, got over 5 yards a carry on Sunday. I think they contributed to that. Maybe not domination by any means, but when Corliss is out there, he gives an honest effort, even though he isn't the same blocker he used to be circa 2011, but gives an honest effort out there. To round things off here, kudos to the Packers offensive line, basically pitching a shutout in terms of, you know, giving up pressure. Like I said, Packers allowing 2 sacks, but more so falling on the shoulders of the tight ends than the offensive line. Across the board, from left tackle to right tackle, Packers offensive line doing good in both phases of the game yesterday, run blocking and pass blocking. Brian Bulaga ends up being the highest, graded out as the highest Packers player on offense during the game, because he was just good in both against the run and the pass, keeping a clean pocket as well as, you know, opening up holes for Eddie Lacy and James Starks. Great stuff there from Brian Bulaga. We talked about him being in a contract season. You know, he had the small injury early in the year. He kind of had to get over. But, you know, since coming back from that torn MCL, I think it was, Brian Bulaga, you know, battling and seemingly getting better by the week now since coming back from injury, doing a good job out there. But and not just him, you know, again, whole Packers offensive line, credit to them all for just being solid, not allowing any pressure on Aaron Rodgers and getting movement in the run game. You know, Aaron Rodgers is always going to be effective. But, you know, for a few weeks there, it was the Packers running game that wasn't, you know, doing its fair share. And they did yesterday. You know, it wasn't Eddie Lacy running for over 100 yards. But when they ran, you know, they got the job done. They got the job done. So, very little to complain about the day after a game. Enjoy it, folks. Enjoy Victory Monday for your Green Bay Packers. Where they go from here, it's going to be very interesting to see, I think, where they stack up with New Orleans on the road heading into a bye. Wow, I mean, if the Packers could win on the road next week against a team led by Drew Brees and Sean Payton, then they're for real. Then they're for real. They could come crashing back down to earth quickly, which, you know, might not necessarily be a bad thing. I don't know if they're getting big heads right now on a 4-game winning streak. Maybe that's good that they lose. I mean, it's never good when you lose, but you could almost see that being a benefit, you know, coming crashing back down to earth a little bit and learning from that experience. But I mean, hey, going into New Orleans and winning isn't a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. It'll be fun next week, no matter what. Looking forward to that. We'll be breaking down that game later in the week, as usual. In fact, as usual, our Wednesday episode of Railbird Central, always with Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We'll talk to him, take one last look back at this game, and then ahead to the next as they get ready for the New Orleans Saints later this week. So, that's it for the show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thanks to Jeremy Vanderlinden of TitletownSoundOff.com for joining us on the show. Haven't done this in a while. If I could get our listening audience to help us out, your call to action, follow Jeremy Vanderlinden on Twitter. It is TTSO_Jeremy. If I'm correct, go give him a follow on Twitter. Go check out their website. Check out their podcasts. Appreciate the work they do on the Packers blogosphere. So that's your call to action. Go follow Jeremy Vanderlinden on Twitter. We'll see you later, folks. We'll see you on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, and all your Packers news needs updated throughout the week here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.